The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We'll talk about the contenders for Ireland's favourite architectural projects for 2025. So this is an annual event. It's the Public Choice Award hosted by the RIAI, the Royal Institute of Architects in Ireland. And I won't go through all the contenders, but they include the Arklow Wastewater Treatment Plant in Arklow. The name is there, Dricid an Duchas, which is over the Corrib. You've got Leeson Park Avenue in Dublin, Scullnaith Reid in Mayo, and then the redevelopments of Dunleary Baths as well in Dublin. So there's lots more, and you can find all the detail on the RIAI's website and how to vote in it if indeed you're eligible. But Ono Brin is with me, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, who is going to tell me now who he thinks should top that list.
Actually, that's not what I'm going to do.
Oh, come on. I knew you wanted to talk about bus horse and other buildings and all that, but you can go on, pick one.
There are 48 projects, and I've only started going through them on the website earlier on today. I mean, a couple of things. First of all, this actually is a really important, I suppose, exercise by the RIAI, because architecture matters. Architecture has a huge impact on the quality of people's lives. And I think one of the things I would urge people to do is you don't have to be an architect or an artist or somebody who has training to have an opinion on this. And I'd urge people genuinely, go on the website. You can click through all the projects. And the breadth of the projects is really interesting. So, like, there's private houses, there's public houses, there's bridges, there's monasteries, there's a wastewater treatment plant. There's just kind of freestanding structures. There's even an Irish Architectural Foundation exhibition. And I think, not that I want to speak for the RIAI, but I think part of what they're trying to do is engage the public to be kind of thinking about the built environment. I've always been of the view, not just since I did the book on Bussaras and Áras Fictormida with Mal McCann, and we're working on another book about the architecture and public housing of Herbert Sims and Dublin Corporation of the 30s and 40s. But I've always been of the view that huge amounts of public money is spent on buildings all over the state, taxpayers' money. Those buildings, not just what they do and how we use them and whether they're built properly or not, but the design styles have an impact on our urban environment, our built environment. And therefore, I think there's not enough discussion in the Oireachtas and in the Dáil, including among people who talk about housing, about what this stuff looks like and its impact on the built environment. And I do think the public need to be engaged more. Now, sometimes the language of architectural discourse is very off-putting, but all you have to do is have an opinion. Do you like it? Do you not? Mm-hmm. So there are some really wonderful projects. I have to say the wastewater treatment plant in Arklow is a really interesting building. It's a really interesting design. There's a really interesting Benedictine monastery in Kilmore Abbey. Axo Architects, again, just some really interesting stuff. I do like some of the housing projects, including both some of the approved housing body and Dublin Corporation housing projects. Sadler's Wells East, O'Donnell Toohey. And of course, it's an All-Ireland project. It's not just stuff in the south, it's stuff in the north. So I'd urge people to look at it and engage with it. Don't just think of which one you like the most, but go and see the building, walk around and through the building. Because ultimately,
so experience the building as a person.
So for me, the best way I explain it is I'm not an architect. I'm like the regular person on the street, which is I walk in and out of buildings. But one of the things I learned when I was doing the building about Bussaras and Áras Fictormida, that really, really important mid-century modernist masterpiece of Michael Scott, is that while interviewing his son, Neil Scott, who also was an architect, I asked him, why is this building important? And the first thing he said was, without even thinking about it, because it works. It was designed as a bus station for buses to come in and come out, passengers come in and come out. 75 years on, whether you like the look of it or not, it works perfectly well. You know, if I go into some of the really great new public housing projects, and we've really wonderful public housing across the state, it's well designed, it's comfortable, it's clean, it's bright, but it also physically adds something to the built environment. If you get off the train station in Limerick, a Colbert train station, you walk across the road, there's an old shirt factory there and it's been converted into a public housing project. Beautiful new homes and then beautifully restored public housing. Tua have a wonderful, wonderful social housing project, a complete restoration renovation of a late 19th century building down on Ellis Court by the Croppy's Acre. Not just a beautiful building, when you talk to the residents inside, they tell you how great it is. And of course, it was architecturally and environmentally very sound. So I think buildings are about people. One of the criticisms I often have of architecture books, and I might extend this criticism to some of the photographs in the RAI's website, there's very rarely people in them, right?
Yeah.
And buildings,
which would suggest
create,
that there's a value, that some value form over function. Whereas you suggest it's the other way around.
I think both are important. So like, for me, one of the reasons why...
Both important, but for is it would you be a subscriber of the view that form follows function?
What my view is as follows. And again, Áras Fictearmann and Bosaris is a good example of this. First of all, it functions brilliantly for what it was designed. The buses in and out and passengers in and out. I also think it's a really, really beautiful building. Not everybody agrees, and obviously beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So I think it adds something to the urban fabric of that part of the city. But I also think, because when that building was made, it wasn't just about getting a bus, it was also having comfort. It was about treating our grandparents and parents traveling up and down from the country with a level of dignity that wasn't the norm for ordinary traveling people. And therefore, I think those two things are interrelated. Clearly, it has to work, right? If it doesn't get the buses in and out, it's a failure.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't just be about getting the buses in and out. It shouldn't be, you know, I talk about public housing and public housing architecture. It shouldn't just be about putting a roof over somebody's head. It should be giving them real joy and comfort inside their home where they and their family live and grow. But I also think we need to remember it also informs the area around it. When I published the book on housing, Home, Why Public Housing Matters, I spent a long time searching for the front page image, and I found this beautiful social housing project in a city in the east of the Netherlands. And it provided really, really good quality social and affordable homes in a neighbourhood that was a pretty tough neighbourhood at the time. But the building is beautiful. The people who live there, and I interviewed a man who's lived there for many years, have beautiful views of the city, have beautiful views of their football stadium. It's attractive. And it was actually voted by the residents of that neighbourhood, a very tough working class and migrant neighbourhood in the city, as their favourite building in the city because it started to give them a sense of pride and joy. So I think all three things are really, really important. And that's why I think when you're looking at these, and you won't have the time to go around all 48, but go and walk through some of them. Like around the corner from Leinster House, there's the Grafton Architects ESB headquarters.
Yes.
And when you walk through that walkway, right, from the Mesian Plaza, again, another beautiful building, which is now the HSE's headquarters, through to the other side, they've done really beautiful things with the streetscape. Now, I haven't been inside the offices, but they also look really interesting inside. And therefore, I think good quality architecture can really enhance our city. And particularly with public money, like we spend a lot of time talking about the Children's Hospital, right? Like that's a huge building. That's going to have a huge visual impact on the urban fabric of the city. And in all the conversations we've had about it and the scandal about the mismanagement of it, very few people are saying, what's it going to look like? How's it going to impact? I think those things matter. And I think sometimes the limited way in which we think, particularly about public contracts and public construction, underestimates the need to actually have an eye to the architect. Again, that's why if I look at that wonderful Museum of Antiquities in Waterford, right, publicly funded project by the local authority, it is so beautiful.
Right? Well, they've done an incredible job in Waterford around the Cathedral Quarter, and then kind of down in the direction east from that in the city. And it's actually a fabulous kind of example of renovating a space that was really had kind of
absolutely
incredibly run down 15 years ago.
And as part of that, and the former chief executive of the local
authority. Do you know what else they've done? Because you've got, sorry to interrupt you, but I actually really like this part of Waterford because what they've done as well is marrying all of those beautiful museums, and they've got a great medieval museum there as well, and a museum of time, and they've got all these old buildings, and you've got the cathedral, of course, in the centre of it. They've allowed artists, street artists, to do a huge amount of work on vacant and derelict buildings, and it's incredible the degree to which that has rejuvenated the city.
So you have the murals and the street art, you have the public architecture, and some of it very, very innovative and radical, and it took a fair amount of courage for the local authority to do that. You have really great pedestrianisation, but I was in Brussels last weekend, obviously my partner Lynn Boylan, MEP, is there, and one of the things when you walk around Brussels is they do really interesting things with their architecture. They make the city exciting, interesting, attractive, both on the public and private sector side. And I think one of the tragedies of Dublin City is we have lots of beautiful architecture. We have beautiful Georgian architecture, Victorian architecture. We have really, really great 20th and 21st century architecture, including buildings that might not be to everybody's tastes, although somebody like me who likes concrete and brutalism would champion them. But we don't do enough to celebrate it. So again, to go back to Bucyrus.
But sorry, we don't do enough to celebrate the diversity in it as well.
But
I pass a Dutch billy house every day around the corner from Patrick's, and the amount of them that exist in the city behind Georgian facades, because we subscribe to this view that if it's not 20th or 21st century in Dublin, it must be Georgian. And actually, there's this incredible Huguenot influence on the city, and we don't see it. There's very few of them that are visible like that one beside St.
But
Patrick's Grammar School.
If you think, for example,
another lovely building.
If you think of the Customs House, you know, that 18th century masterpiece, that jewel in the crown of architecture, it's restored. It's lit up at night. Same with Kilmainham, you know, same with the GPO. But there you have poor old Michael Scott's Bucyrus and Ars Victermida, which actually, when you get to see the building properly, really does have some very striking and beautiful architectural features. But it's not clean. It's not lit. You can't see it. So one of the things we're very bad at is, first of all, celebrating absolutely, as you say, the diversity of our architectural heritage, but particularly our 20th and 21st century heritage. And again, what the diversity of styles in the ORIAI Public Choice Awards does is it shows you how live, like Grafton Architects, right, are one of, if not the most internationally celebrated architects in the world. And they're from here, and they design buildings, including they're doing a wonderful project for Dublin City Council, a restoration refurbishment of some old social housing apartments in the north inner city. You know, O'Donnell Toomey, for example, if you go up Cork Street, that really unusual social housing project, the timber yard on the right hand side of the Liberties, all kind of angles and
yes,
you know, really, really exceptional buildings. Likewise,
I quite like the buildings as well, the apartments around Weaver Park,
for example, right? And, you know, you can do the same down in Bridgefoot Street. But also, the new book I have coming out with Mal McCann in September is kind of a celebration of, as well as a kind of an account of, the Dublin Corporation public housing of the 30s and 40s. But there's bits of East Cabra where there's just all these beautiful little features on the public housing. I'm a big fan and champion of Herbert Sims, notwithstanding the fact that the state continues to refuse to invest in upgrading and regenerating those buildings to give the council tenants adequate homes. But they really add to our public fabric. And therefore, let's preserve this. Let's celebrate it. And also let's recognise that in addition to great writers and poets and sports people, as well as some journalists, we have great architects in this country, and let's champion them. Young and experienced.
RIAI.ie, and you'll get the link. It's on the homepage there to the Public Choice Awards, and you can go through all of these in great detail. There are no people in the pictures, but you can imagine them nonetheless. Owen Brin, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson. Thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.